الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue readings in كتاب التوحيد by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. Reading from the chapter باب الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. The chapter which the author he has entitled الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. The propagation, invitation, and the call, the call to the testification of faith that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Who can remind us of the benefit of the arrangement of this, of the author, and how this chapter is suitable for the chapters previous? For the previous chapters, this is the chapter, the call to the testification of faith, the call to the shahada, yani the call to at-tawheed. What was the chapter before? تحقيق من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب. Before that. One before this one, الخوف من الشرك. And then, before that, تحقيق التوحيد. Whoever fulfilled the rights of التوحيد, he will enter paradise without any reckoning. Before that, the virtue of التوحيد. See, these are the chapters that we had so far. So the author, he began, the ulama, they mentioned the first of the book is an introduction. It's an introduction, clarifying the reality of at-tawheed, that is the greatest obligation, and that is the greatest right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Clarifying that the tawheed is the purpose of the creation of the heavens and the earth, and it was the call of all of the messengers. This was established in the introduction. So the greatness of tawheed and the status of tawheed and the wisdom of the creation is tawheed, and the likes, the greatest right of Allah Azza wa Jal, haqqullahi ala al-ibad, is at tawheed, to worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After mentioning the right of tawheed and its obligation, the author, he mentioned the chapter, the virtue of tawheed. Why? The virtue of tawheed. وَمَا يُكَفِّرُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. نعم. And التحبيب الناس للتوحيد, it's an obligation, it must be performed. It's the greatest right of Allah Azza wa Jal. On top of that, it's very virtuous. It's for the individual, for the one who fulfills that right, and he complies to that commandment, then he has a great virtue that he has the promise of paradise and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that his sins will be forgiven and pardoned and expiated. The virtue of at-tawheed. That way the person that he will love it, the person who will begin to love tawheed, whenever he hears about this virtue and hears about how valuable it is and how beneficial it is, then this is in order to see, when one sees the virtue of something, likewise he will be able to bear the burden of obtaining it. Something that is very virtuous, sometimes not easy to obtain or easy to actualize or to fulfill. But whenever a person, he knows the virtue of something and that it's valuable and beneficial, he will be able to bear the burden of obtaining that and fulfilling the rights of that and the likes. So then he began in this manner, mentioning the virtue of at-tawheed. The virtue of at-tawheed, causing the people, clarifying its goodness and its value and its virtue, so the people will love it. So the people will love it and comply to it and rectify themselves by establishing the tawheed in their life. And then after that, the author, he mentioned the chapter that whoever fulfills the rights of tawheed will enter paradise without any reckoning. So what is this one here? After learning about tawheed, knowing its virtue, what do you have to do after that? You have to work. You have to fulfill the rights of that tawheed. For that tawheed, it has rights. So first, in the beginning, the author is teaching us about Tawheed. We're learning about Tawheed. We're gaining knowledge. It's an obligation. It's valuable. Now, the reality of Tawheed is that it's the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the greatest thing that He has commanded. The one who has it, Allah will pardon him and expiate his sins. Like this, so then once a person, he learns about Tawheed, he has knowledge, what is the next step?
Action.
The next step is action. So then the author, he mentioned directly after this, the chapter of whoever fulfills the rights of Tawheed, he went to paradise. So this is an indication that after learning about Tawheed, and after knowing the reality of Tawheed, you have to apply it. You have to apply it. It's not about hopes and whims. It's not about claims and statements that are false without any action. Rather, there must be tahqiq al-tawheed. Tahqiq al-tawheed. Tayyib, somebody, he learned about something and he knows how valuable it is, he knows how beneficial it is, and then he applies it. Likewise, after this, there are other things he has to be aware of likewise. He has to be aware of things that would cause deficiency or that would cause that blessing or that virtue to go away. So somebody, he learns about something and then he enjoys that thing and he establishes that thing in his life, and he will be cautious after he knows how beneficial it is, that he would do anything that would cause it to go away. That there are things that could cause it to be deficient or cause it to go away. Like this, the same idea with shirk, with tawheed, that there are things that could cause it to decrease or to even go away, like shirk. So then the author, he mentioned after that the clarification of the obligation of being afraid of shirk, and which would wipe out tawheed. And this is all to fulfill the rights of tawheed. So after a person, he learns about tawheed and he applies it in his life and he fulfills the rights of tawheed and he's aware of that which negates it and that which causes deficiency in it, then at this time he has become upright. He has become upright in himself. Yeah, this is how a person, he will rectify his soul by learning the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. By learning the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complying to that. By learning the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest commandment, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the greatest commandment, وَخَلَّا رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And he complies to that. And then after this, he fulfills the rights of Tawheed. Worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. Then he will become upright. Staying away from everything that would decrease his tawheed, he will become upright in himself. After a person, he becomes upright, what should he do? The next chapter, al-du'a ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah. So the author, he made the arrangement of this book in this manner, that the first thing a person, he must do is learn about tawheed, the greatest obligation, the greatest right, the greatest commandment. Now, the reason for the creation. He must learn about what all the messengers came with and called to. He must learn about that. After he learns about that, it's not sufficient just to know. He has to apply it. He has to work by way of that. And then the reality of that is that application, that there are rights. And to establish the foundation of Tawheed, that's that creed. That nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah Azza wa Jal. But after that, there are the rights of Tawheed. From the completion of Tawheed is that a person, he would perform the other commandments that Allah has commanded. And from the completion of Tawheed is that he would leave off the prohibitions. From the completion of Tawheed is that he would know the prohibitions related to his eyes. And know the prohibitions related to his tongue and to his hands. He would know the commandments likewise related to his eyes and to his hands. That which is permissible, that which is impermissible, is from the completion of Tawheed. And these are the things that will cause a deficiency. And the greatest thing that causes deficiency is shirk. Major shirk, and then minor shirk, and then innovation, and then major sins, and then minor sins, and then heedlessness and negligence, and the likes like this. In this manner, there are other things that could cause that tawheed to be light in the scale. So then a person, he learns this, he applies this. Now he becomes upright. But he wouldn't suffice on himself. Rather, whenever somebody, he has something good and something valuable, what would he like for his brothers? To join him. So then he calls them and he invites them. He invites them according to his knowledge and according to his ability. Some will invite directly with knowledge because they have knowledge. Others, they can invite and call to Allah Azza wa Jal with what? With money. Others can call to Allah Azza wa Jal with what? With status, with rank. Some others have other abilities that they can use and utilize in the path of الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. Some have skills. Some have skills they can do and they can help. يعني in this path, in the path of calling to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But in any case, this is the beautiful reality, يعني of life. And this is the way of the successful. And this is the way of those who are saved from failure. And these are the ways of the praiseworthy. And these are the way of the righteous. And this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. And this is the way of all of the previous prophets likewise, that they have knowledge and action, application. They have knowledge and action, and then they have application, and they call to that. There's a chapter that summarizes this whole issue for us. The chapter in the book of Allah as well summarizes this whole issue. Wal-Asr. Who can explain this? Who knows the chapter? Can explain that? Allah, what does he say in his book? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah swears by the time. Swearing by the time. Wal asr, sah? Swearing by the time. If Allah swears by something, what does that mean? That means it's very important. That it's great. It's a sign in itself. Allah is swearing by it to indicate its greatness. To indicate its greatness. And also to indicate when we see the greatness of something in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that leads us to the greatness of our Creator. Time. And then even if the time of any, all throughout ages. This is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. And then even if you think specifically Asr. What happens at Asr time? The creation goes into the position and the light comes at this time and the earth is in a place and the moon is in a place and the sun is in a place and there's light. All of this is Awal Asr. Allah swears by that. Can you bring the Asr? Can I bring the Asr? Can Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring that? Nobody can bring the Asr. The Asr time, it comes after Dhuhr and it comes before Maghrib. No one can do that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the great signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wal Asr. Now he's swearing by that. This indicates the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and also in the greatness of the importance of time. A believer, he takes advantage of his time. Naam. He's swearing about what? Swearing by the time about? In al insana. They're in loss. All mankind is in loss. Inna al-insana, naam, is in loss. And kullu insan fi khusr. He's a loser. Whether he's engulfed in loss. Except for?
Those who believe.
Except for? You want to finish? Abdul Malik.
Those who believe.
Uh-huh.
Work righteous deeds.
Work righteous deeds.
Join together and
tell him.
Call upon good.
But also sabr, patience, and
truth.
And truth. And joining each other upon patience, or commanding each other, one another, to be patient, and commanding each other to be with the truth. So all mankind is in loss except for these people. They're the winners. The winners are the ones who have these four traits. What do they have? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That indicates that they have knowledge. That they have knowledge. That they know Tawheed. They believe in what? Believe in Allah. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. أَنِي بِاللَّهِ. In Allah. And that which Allah has commanded to believe in. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ رُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. وَالْخَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They have knowledge. Iman is knowledge. Knowledge of the revelation. Knowledge of what to believe in. Knowledge of the tawheed. Knowledge of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the straight path. Knowledge of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge about Islam. Al-Iman. Al-Iman and Islam. Whenever they're come together, they have separate meaning. But whenever they're mentioned, one is mentioned by itself, they have the same meaning. So iman here, that those who believe, and those who believe and they have the iman in their heart, and they comply to Islam, they have Islam, their Islam is good. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they work righteous deeds. تَحْقِيقُ التَّوْحِيدِ, they know the virtue of iman and then they apply it. They know about tawheed and then they apply it, and they have fulfilled the rights of tawheed. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, we said it backwards. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, to enjoin the truth, and then to mutually enjoin the truth, and also to mutually enjoin patience, to enjoin the truth. Where's that at?
Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and no one else, don't enjoin anyone.
In the book that we're in.
Right,
calling to the Shahada. Calling to watawasu bil haq, calling each other to the truth. And this is the call here. This is the arrangement of the author. So the author, he based the arrangement of the book here on Surah Al-Asr. On Surah Al-Asr. And on this is the way to be successful. That a person, he will learn, then he will get knowledge, and then he will apply it, and he will be steadfast upon that knowledge himself, and then he will call others to it. He will call others to it. This is the way of success. This is the way that is good. This is the way of the life of a Muslim. Anybody who doesn't have that, and then he'll be patient on that until he dies. He'll be patient upon that until he dies. Patient upon what? Patient upon learning, patient upon applying, and patient upon advising and calling others until he dies. Until he dies. This is the way. This is the way of those people that are not losers. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who believe and work righteous deeds. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So this is the successful way. So this is the beautiful tartib of the author, and his wisdom and his knowledge likewise, how he arranged the book in this manner. And he calling to Tawheed. He's the caller to Tawheed. He's calling to Tawheed, rahimahullah ta'ala. Naam, and this is the way that a believer, he will likewise follow his steps. And this is the way of the successful before him, based upon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, calling to Tawheed in this manner. Babu du'a'i lishahadati an la ilaha illallah. This is the chapter calling to the statement la ilaha illallah, to the testification of faith, la ilaha illallah. The author, he says, wa qawli Allahi ta'ala qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allahi ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani wa subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen wa subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in this verse, he says, Qul. The author, he mentioned that statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Yusuf. Qul. Allah, he says, Qul. Whenever Allah says Qul, what does that mean? We say that a lot. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul. What does that mean?
Say.
It means say. Sah. You tell someone, Qul, say. But what does it mean here though? Who is their address to? When you say قُل, if I say to you right now قُل, أني أنت, صح? But who is the address here to? قُل. نعم. So the ulama of tafsir, they mention whenever it says قُل, after that it means يَا مُحَمَّد. قُل يَا النَّبِي. And that's the meaning. يَا مُحَمَّد. قُل. أنت. نعم. But it's also for the call, or for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the command for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a command for his ummah likewise. Except for whenever there is an indication that is specific for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's also another benefit with when we say قُل. قُل, like for example, قُل هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. وَقُل هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. قُل هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Does it mean, what does قُل mean? Say. What do you say it with? With your tongue. Is that sufficient?
لا.
You say it with your tongue, and you also say it with your heart. You say it with your tongue in pronunciation, and you say it with your heart with?
Except with intention.
With i'tiqad, with belief, with creed, with belief, with iman. You say it with your tongue, and you say it with your heart also. You say it with your heart also. There's a statement of the heart. It's called creed and aqidah, iman. Naam, so it's a command, like for example in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. You say that with your tongue and your heart. I say that with my tongue, and I believe, and my heart affirms and believes that He is the one and only Allah. There's nothing like Him, nothing similar to Him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so here is similar, Allah, He says again, قُلْ. And He say that with your tongue, and this is the belief. هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. This is my way. هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. هذه طريقتي. ومنهجي ومسلكي أنا عليها. This is my sunnah. This is my way. Tell the people this. قل هذه سبيلي. This is my way. This is my sunnah. This is my path. نعم. And then he says أدعو إلى الله. I call to Allah. This is my way. This is my path. This is my sunnah. If somebody wanted to, they said, what are you upon? What are you upon? قل هذه سبيلي. أدعو إلى الله. I call to Allah. أدعو إلى الله. I call to Allah. نعم. How does he call to Allah? على بصيرة. على بصيرة. I call to Allah upon insight. Upon insight. What is بصيرة? علم. العلم واليقين. برهان. نعم. حق بدليلي. البصيرة. It's proof. It's knowledge with evidence. Knowledge and evidence. Certainty. Certain knowledge. بصيرة. بصيرة. The ulama, they say the sense with this, what's that called?
Hearing.
And then this one is called sama. Yeah, this one is sama. And this one is called basar. Nah, the basar. What's that? What do you do with the basar? Was it at? And the eye. And the eye. The eye, it has al basar. You can see with it. Nah, the eyes, they see with it. The also similar, like the eyes have the basar, the heart also has basira. So the basira for the heart is like the basar for the eye. So the true blindness is not the blindness of the basar, but the blindness of the basira, of the heart. Of the heart. This is the one who is truly blind. This is the one who is truly blind. Yadin billah. So he, I call to basira, insight, any certain knowledge and proof. As an evidence and certainty that's in the heart, that's knowledge. Yani. So the basira is in the heart, it's a knowledge and it's an evidence and proof. Yani, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. This is my way, this is my path, this is my sunnah. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. I call to Allah upon insight, upon knowledge, upon certainty, with proof, yani, with revelation, with evidence from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, from my Lord. Yani, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. That's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Me and those who follow me. Me and those who follow me. Me and those who follow me. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And glorified and exalted is Allah Azza wa Jalla above any deficiency. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. يعني أُنَزِّهُهُ وَعَظِّمُهُ سُبْحَانُ وَتَعَالَى وَأُجِلُّهُ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ وَالْعُيُوبِ. You glorify him and you praise him above any deficiency. Subhanallah. He has no deficiency. Perfect life. Alive and never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sustaining himself. Al-Hayyul Al-Qayyum. These two attributes, very important to understand for the perfection of the life of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that he sustained, he's alive by himself and he needs nothing. As-Samad subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذه السبيل أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. And I'm not from the polytheists. وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. I'm not from the people who make shirk. يعني ما أنا منهم. I'm not from them. This is a bara'ah. This is a bara'ah. From the completion of tawheed, الخوف من الشرك. From the completion of tawheed, الخوف من الشرك والبراءه من الشرك. So he's afraid of shirk, he's free from shirk. وَمَا أَنَا. This is my way. Tell them, this is my way. هَذِهِ السَّبِيلِ. Consists of these affairs here. أَدْعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Likewise, not only that, but the ones who follow him also. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Likewise, the people who truly follow the Prophet ﷺ, that's what they do also. That's what they do also. That, what do they do? The true followers of the Prophet ﷺ, what do they do? يَدْعُونِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. كيف؟ على بصيرة. They also call to Allah على بصيرة. They also call to Allah على بصيرة. أنا ومن اتبعني. Me and those who follow me. This is my way. I call to Allah upon insight, upon knowledge and certain proof. Me and those who follow me. And glorified is Allah عز وجل. And I am not from the polytheists. And I'm not from them. I'm free from them. I'm not from them. I don't sit with them. I don't partake in their shirk with them. I don't enjoy with them. I'm free from their shirk. I'm free from them and their shirk. Bara'atu, al-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about this verse. He says, فَالْآيَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ أَتْبَاعَهُ هُمْ أَهْلُ الْبَصَائِرِ الدَّاعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. ومن ليس منهم فليس من أتباعه على الحقيقة وموافقتي وإن كان من أتباعه على الانتساب والدعوة. This is encouragement for a believer to step up and to not be lazy and to not be heedless. That this verse is telling us, Allah is mentioning this is to say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is my way. I call to Allah upon insight, me and those who follow me. And glorified and exalted is Allah Azza wa Jalla above any imperfection, and I am not from the polytheists. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, this verse indicates that the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are the people of basair. They are the people of knowledge and the people who call to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The people of knowledge and the people who call to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're the ones who are truly upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They're the ones who are truly following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that means that he says, and whoever is not upon this way, they're not from his followers in reality, any truthfully, any fulfilling the rights of following the Prophet in muwafaqa, in accordance exactly, even if they claim to be or they ascribe to be his followers and claim to be his followers. And the true follower is the one who knows who he is, knows his way. Somebody says he's following somebody and he's upon his way, but if you look at him, he doesn't know his way. Is he really following him? Is he really from his follower? He can ascribe to him, now, but there's a deficiency in that. Because he claims something he doesn't even know about it. So then to have knowledge about it, you have to have knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowledge of his way. In order to follow him, you have to know where he was going. You have to know his manners and his conduct. You have to know his belief and his creed. You have to know his actions, his worship. You have to know his deen. You have to know his sunnah. And then follow that, apply that, and then he will be from his followers. And then call others to that. This is the one who is truly from the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In this, there are two conditions. We see that الدعوة is ibadah. And ibadah has two conditions. What are they? الإخلاص والمتابعة. أحسنت. They're mentioned here. Also for da'wah. Da'wah is ibadah. And now some mention here. There must be ikhlas wa mutaba'ah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. What's that right there? I call to Allah. Al-ikhlas. I call to Allah. I don't call to anybody else. I call to Allah. I don't call to anybody else. أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. The ulama, they mentioned that, even the author, he mentioned in the Masail, rahimahullah, that some people, even though they call to the truth, they really call to themselves. Even though they call to the truth, they're really calling to their self. Some people, maybe he's calling to the truth. Maybe he is, everything he's mentioning is 100% true. Maybe he's mentioning the Tawheed, Sunnah. Maybe he's mentioning Salafiyyah. Everything that he said is correct. But who is he calling to? To himself. He wants to have a position. He wants to have a rank. He wants to have praise in the hearts of the people. He wants to have status. This is what he's hoping for. This is what he's in his heart. This is what he wants. This is what he wants. He has a foul intention. That's not the way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadihi sabili, adu'u ila Allah, adu'u ila Allah." Some people they call to the truth. They call to the sunnah, but in reality they're calling to their group. They're calling to their friends and their way. If you follow them in their way and you get in with their group and their way, hisbiyah. Then they like you and they're your friend and they treat you nice. And if you don't, they don't like you. They don't look to whether you follow what they're calling to or not. They don't look to whether are you following this. You know, he's calling you to the Quran, he's calling you to the Sunnah, he's calling you to the madhab of the Salaf, a Salaf al-Salih. The one who complies to that's the one that's the wali. That's the one who complies to that call, the one who is following the Quran, the one who's following the Sunnah, the one who's following the correct da'wah. This is the one that you love him. Not because he has money, not because he has rank. Why? Because he is following the correct way, an allegiance for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you see somebody who is following the straight path and he has he is upright and he's striving, then this is the one who you bring him close. Regardless of what he has in the dunya. Regardless of whether he has money, he has status, or he has rank, he can help you, he cannot help you. Now the allegiance is for Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the case. A person he calls to Allah, not to himself, not to his group, not to his friends, not to his clique. لا يدعو إلى الله, not to some status, not to some rank. نعم, his intention is for the people to go straight. His intention is for the tawheed to spread. to enter the hearts of the servants, for the people to become upright upon the sunnah, for the people to comply to the commandments of Allah, not His commandments, for the people to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah, not His prohibitions. Sometimes the one who calls to Allah, but he calls to himself, if you disobey him, he becomes angry with you. But if you disobey Allah, he doesn't become angry with you. That's a sign that he's not sincere, that he's calling to himself. That if you disobey his call, if he commands something and you don't obey it, he becomes angry because you don't obey him. You didn't listen. I told you not to do that. I told you this. But then he sees somebody else doing the same thing, disobeying Allah, and something worse than that. He doesn't get upset with them. It's okay. It doesn't affect his heart. Because his heart is not praising Allah Azza wa Jalla and venerating Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a disease. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is an indication that the people, they have to be sincere in calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla. أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَسِيرَةٍ. عَلَى بَسِيرَةٍ عَلَى knowledge. So then they can't call upon falsehood. And those people who call upon ignorance, they're not on the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The people who call to Allah upon ignorance. And there's some groups of people, what do? Somebody accept Islam and they put him the first one to go talk. He just accepted Islam, they put him in the front to go talk and tell them about Islam. He just accepted Islam yesterday. Some people, they do this. Or they send the anybody to speak in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can't speak in the about Allah Azza wa Jal, in the name of the deen, in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can't speak about this without knowledge. أَدُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. أَدُوا إِلَى Allahi ala basira. Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, he mentioned here, we close. He says, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ أَمَرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ فَقِيهًا فِيمَا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ فَقِيهًا فِيمَا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Now he mentioned some guidelines in calling. Very beneficial. He says, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ أَمَرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It is incumbent upon the one who calls to goodness. He commands goodness. يعني الأمر بالمعروف and النهي عن المنكر, calling, commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. This is this is from the aspect of da'wah, commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. He says that it's incumbent for the one who commands the good and prohibits the evil that he be فقيهًا بما يأمر به فقيهًا فيما ينهى عنه, that he has knowledge, he has fiqh of what he calls to, and that he has knowledge and fiqh of what he prohibits. Why? What happened if somebody, he didn't have knowledge of what he's calling to or he's commanding? He's commanding somebody to do something, but he doesn't really know himself. He might command somebody to do something that's not permissible. He thinks he's commanding the good, but really he's commanding something, evil. Commanding something evil, right? Or somebody, for example, who is prohibiting. If he's prohibiting but he doesn't have knowledge, he might prohibit somebody from doing something and it's good and it's good and it's permissible. He doesn't know. It could become mixed up for him very easy because he doesn't know. He could command somebody to do something, nah, and then he could prohibit somebody from doing something. He could command somebody to do something that's not permissible. And he could prohibit somebody from doing something that is permissible. That is permissible. So you have to have knowledge. If you want to command somebody, then you command them upon knowledge. If you want to prohibit somebody, you prohibit them based upon knowledge. You know, certain knowledge, that's not permissible. You can't do that. Some people, they say, they may, for example, they might see you eating at McDonald's and see somebody eating at McDonald's. Oh, that's haram. That's haram hamburger. Right? He's prohibiting you, right? But not upon knowledge. Not upon knowledge. Not upon knowledge. That's an example. You can't say something's haram except with proof. What's the proof? It's haram. Tayyib. Some people, maybe they would do that, prohibit without knowledge. And then they would speak. And then in the end, what did they wind up doing? Speaking about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge. This is something dangerous. Naam, so then he says also, Rafiqan fima ya'muru bihi. Rafiqan fima yanha anhu. Very, very beneficial. Also, he should be first faqihan. Now, Rafiqan. First, he has knowledge of what he commands and knowledge of what he prohibits. Also, he must be gentle in what he commands and gentle what he prohibits. Some people, they have the knowledge, but they don't have the knowledge of how it's done. The knowledge of the manners and the etiquettes on how to get the deed accomplished. Because why would he command the good? To overpower that person and to be the commander? No, because he wants him to be upon good. Why would he stop him from the evil? To have the hand over him? Not like that. No, because he wants him to be away from evil, to be safe from harm. So he prohibits him with a good intention, and he commands him with a good intention, wanting good for that person. He would do it gently. He would do it gently, because whenever somebody commands you to do something harshly, what normally do we do first thing? Back away. You put, hold on, man, why are you talking like that? Even if it's something good, there's going to be a barrier. Nobody likes to be talked to, addressed like that. So here in commanding the good, he wants that person to be upon khair. So the means to do that is not to be harsh in the beginning. He says here, رَفِيقًا فِيمَا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ رَفِيقًا فِيمَا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Now that he will be gentle in what he commands and gentle in what he prohibits. And this is the origin. Could lead to another case where there's harshness. Naam. But the origin is like this. This is the asl. حَلِيمًا فِيمَا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ حَلِيمًا فِيمَا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Also, he must have hilm. He must also be forbearing. Forbearing and also not hasty. Forbearing and not hasty. Not hastening in that which he calls to and commands and that which he prohibits. And then he says, فَالْفِقْهُ, I need to explain now. فَالْفِقْهُ قَابَلَ الْأَمْرِ فَيَعْرِفُ الْمَعْرُوفِ فَيَأْمُرُ بِهِ وَيَعْرِفُ الْمُنْكَرِ فَيُنْكِرُهُ. So he has the fiqh. The reason for the fiqh is because that he knows that it's good, so he'll command it. And he'll know that it's evil and prohibit it. As for the one he doesn't know, then he may command that which is evil and prohibit that which is good. الرفق عند الأمر ليسلك أقرب الطرق إلى تحصيل المقصود. He says, and to be gentle when commanding, this is in order to take the closest path to achieve the goal. To achieve the goal. The closest path to achieve the goal is to, when you're dealing with somebody, is to what? Be nice to them, be calm to them, be gentle to them, have good manners with them, to speak to them in a good way. This is the close, because what do you want to do? You want him to accept the speech from you. You want him to comply to the commandment. You want him to stay away from the prohibition. The fastest way to do that is to present it in the best manner. In the best manner. فَوَرِفْقُ عِنْدَ الْأَمْرِ لِيَسْلُكَ أَقْرَبَ طُرُكَ إِلَى تَحْسِيلِ الْمَقْسُودِ وَالْحِلْمُ بَعْدِ الْأَمْرِ لِيَسْبِرُ عَلَى أَذَى الْمَأْمُورِ وَالْمَنْهِ. He said, and likewise, you have to have patience and forbearance. And this is in order to be patient upon the harm of the one you are commanding and the one you are prohibiting. Maybe you will command somebody, and then in return he will harm you with his tongue, or even physically, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you prohibit somebody and likewise they may harm you. So then you have to have hilm. So the person who commands good, he has to have al-fiqh wal-rifq wal-hilm, according to Sheikh Abd al-Rahman ibn Qasim. He has to have al-fiqh, so he knows what he's calling to. And he has to have rifq, so he can do it in the best way, so the people will accept it from him. And he has to have hilm, so that he can be forbearing and patient upon the harm that he might experience from those that he calls. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call to Allah, not to myself, not to a party, not to a group, rather to Allah. How do I call to Allah? عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Upon insight and guidance. Upon insight and guidance, upon knowledge and certainty, upon proof and evidence. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Me and those who follow me. Me and those who follow me. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. The deen is not complete. As a person's Islam is not complete until he frees himself from shirk. Until he frees himself from shirk and his people. Al-Islam huwa al-Islamu lillahi bil-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'ah wa al-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This is the complete definition of tawheed. To submit and surrender to Allah in compliance with tawheed, and to comply to his commandments with obedience alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to free oneself from shirk and his people, wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. This is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.